Okay, we're rolling. Let's see here. I'll double check it. We've got pretty animal. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. It's like this match. Okay, looks good to me. Actually, maybe I should read the top part. Okay, just a quick question. Mm-hmm. Your intent on the language.
Yeah.
So when it says, UWF does not propose edits to the following articles unless an issue arises negotiating another article which relates to one another. However, the union does not anticipate making minor revisions as needed in these articles related to... is this saying that... I know this is kind of tedious, but like we already have language in the contract that says you can open articles by mutual agreement.
That's what it's saying.
Not really. I mean, what we're doing is we're TAing all these articles. Mm-hmm. But if you TA an article in negotiations and you get to an article that then necessitates you to lift the TA and revisit the other article because of some that correspond to the change, you do that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying that there's a semantic difference between saying UWF does not propose edits to the following articles, right?
Right. Unless during negotiations an issue arises that requires someone to revisit one of these articles.
And also, it doesn't reflect UFF either. I mean, shouldn't it just simply say that? The United Faculty of Florida and the UWF BOT agree that the following articles are TA'd, you know, subject to reopening.
This is just what we gave you to begin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Yeah, it's not it. Yeah.
So okay, do you want to? So I would add UWF and UFF do not propose.
Well, and also what I would say is that instead of this language about proposing, as I would say explicitly, they agree to that these articles, this constitutes a TA as status quo, right? Subject to reopen as needed, as defined in the collective bargaining agreement.
We don't need this because it's the law.
The other part that just is like someone in our office likely or whomever the provost office, whoever is looking at typing this up, will be trying to also address things like the state jaw or you know, where the formatting has gone completely off. I think there's a section where it says 22.5 and 5 is an S. There's things like
Those are Scrivener's errors. I mean,
I just wanted to at the table know that everybody was on board with that.
Sure.
Somebody may really like their 22.S.
Okay, so in this language, the university does anticipate making minor revisions. The parties in agreement, right? Right now, it sounds like a waiver saying, "Oh, okay, the university can go make minor changes as they believe needed," right? I would just say they agree. We agree to TA the following articles as status quo, and just leave it at that. We don't need all the others. What we can certainly agree to at the table is that Scrivener's errors, these sort of things, can absolutely be addressed as needed. But we're not going to give a blanket waiver.
How about that?
Okay. Tom, what do you think? No, look, this looks okay to me.
But There are some errors.
Yeah, no, there's a lot.
Yeah, well, I think
it's good there. This is, you just want to a quick type of are we pausing or can we continue discussing formally?
You can do whatever you want.
I can do it. That's on the tape. Madam Wick says I can do it whatever I want. That's good. We were thinking more also about some of our conversation about in six and conflict of interest and those sort of things. In the current language, so just to make sure that I kind of understand what you're saying. That's the wrong one. Where's the one that shows the strike throughs? So in our current language this is struck at the top of three, right, under consensual relations. Under the definitions, right, it says a conflict of interest, we define conflict of interest, right? A conflict of interest arises when individuals with the authority and the responsibility to evaluate the work or performance of an employee, student, or student employee initiate, acquiesce, or engage in an intimate, romantic, and or sexual relationship with that employee, student, or student employee, right? Mm-hmm. So what I understand, Mike, your position, the position of your team to be, is that this language of it's the authority to evaluate the work or performance of an employee is a limiting phrase, right? That limits the scope of when a conflict of interest occurs.
Correct.
Right? And so the central element I hear that you all are attempting to address is that limited understanding of conflict of interest about work evaluation and performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So what we were thinking maybe is, instead of including all of this other additional language, is to look specifically at that definition of conflict of interest. And my understanding is that the Florida statutes define conflict of interest.
In an ethics and business manner.
Okay.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think so. I just looked briefly while we were online trying to pull up some of the language. Do you know where it is, Tom?
I think there's a conflict of interest definition in the Code of Ethics, but is there a conflict of interest in the Human Relations Act?
No. Well, I want to say it's up under the employees, state employees section. It's like, what's that, the 119, the 120 statute or 112 statute?
Yeah, but I think that's in the conduct of your business, right? And we're looking at a conflict of interest that's created in the context of
relationships.
Discrimination of relationships.
Yeah. No, this is conflict of business in terms of business dealings, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what the statute.
So we think by consulting Florida statutes or other resources, we might find a better definition of conflict of interest that would address the concerns that you all have brought up without introducing a lot of language about trying to navigate the relationship component itself, as we talked about in our previous negotiations. Okay. One more time. Okay, looks great. Thank you, Chrisanna, for doing that.
One last thing. Jamie and I have been trying to work on the perk form for what was bargained last session to add in the new class.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of questions, and I wanted to just bring it up
here
in the open. Right? Did you work with Anita when we had the last class that was... Okay, it would have been years ago that came up.
It was my understanding that you and Anita worked on adding the initial clinical... position.
Completing the form.
Not you.
I have nothing to do with it.
I thought
Jamie,
that's
do you know, because one of the things that I can think of right now
maybe
that's
Justice
easy.
Maybe Justice Ambizo or something?
No, I thought you were on all that course.
Was there no. The address that you all used? We weren't sure as to the specific thing for that. Was there something else simple that...
Like, do y'all have a specific UFF address that y'all get mail at?
We have a mailing address, return address. Yeah,
if we're dealing with the certification, you probably ought to be sending it to the state office. We're talking about amending certification, right?
It is, but there's two different addresses on there. One's the local one
right.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have to go back and look at it.
Well, the statewide should be on there, because we're the ones who will have to address the UC if you guys file one.
I don't have the form in front of me.
Would it be appropriate if we bring the form maybe with us to the November meeting, and then if we have questions, we can discuss it in
sure,
the air?
Sure, I think it's a bad idea. We can all look and...
Yeah.
We want to make sure that...
Make a determination whether...
And having not filed the form ourselves on this end, we want to make sure we do it correctly.
And my recollection on that was, you know, because the language in the CBA states that the university has the authority to petition PERC, right? Like, so we didn't participate explicitly in
the
petitions.
But the form requires all this.
It just requires
all this information in order to petition PERC for.
Okay. And then PERC is going to ask you for a response.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Oh, okay.
So, like she said, we just want to make sure we put the correct information. So, if y'all are in agreement, we'll just bring it to the November meeting and you can just look at it together.
And by the way, it's a good idea to look at it together because. Why send something to PERC that then you're going to go back and object to?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if we're all in agreement that we're amending the bargaining unit, then it's just a pro forma. One part of the other files the UC, and then PERC asks the other side, and then, you know, you know, I've done this how many times, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your attention to that.
Very good. Anything else before the trick or treat?
We have a date already on, I think it's the 20th, is that right?
Yes.
November. Do we want to schedule any additional ones or wait? We don't have to do it now. You're welcome to send us available dates, but if you...
Well, why don't we do that? That way we can coordinate it. Okay. I have two or three things in December that have motions for continuance pending.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they get granted, then that all frees up. But we'll see. Like I'm at a hearing on the 4th of December, in Gainesville. But
yes, so that's the UFO.
That's got a motion for continuance.
And that I'll say is, I think for all parties would be close, given the week after the 20th is Thanksgiving, so that won't be a full work week at least. Mm. Anybody.
So which one is that?
So our next meeting is November 20th, and then the 28th,
the
following week is Thanksgiving, so that won't be a full work week, and I don't know how much other people will be working. And so to meet the 4th would be a quick turnaround as far as both parties having the opportunity to reflect.
I think I'm going to get the 4th. The 4th, you mean, of December? Okay. When does school do that?
First week in the summer. Graduation is what, the 14th?
14th,
yeah.
And then the university's closed the 24th right now through the 1st.
So you got the week of the 16th. That just looks to be pretty open.
Yeah.
Maybe the 17th.
I have. I am bargaining at UCF on the 17th, and I have a PERC hearing on the 18th. So I get it the 16th of the morning to the 19th. I have to be back in Tallahassee by 5.
The 16th works for me.
Afternoon.
I can do any time on 16th.
I can do any time on 16th.
We do afternoon.
Yeah.
You said you had to be back at 5
on the 19th. I'm good on the 16th at any time. That 17th, UCF 17, might go away because we only have one article left at the bargaining table at UCF.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if you did,
which one?
Yes.
The intellectual property.
Oh.
But we had a session in between, and I think we would take care of it in one session.
I'm open on the Sunday.
Okay. I'm pretty sure 17 is going to clear. That's better for people.
Oh, wait, I thought we were doing the 16th.
My preference is for the 16th, but
16th,
I
think
the afternoon is fine. Right? Yeah, the afternoon is fine.
Is 2 o'clock okay? I have a meeting from 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 2 o'clock on the 16th.
All right, 2 o'clock on the 16th or 1 o'clock?
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock? Okay, yeah. 2 o'clock, yes. Of December.
Cassandra, you'll get Gabby to send
the notice.
Mm-hmm. All right, everyone, thanks. Have a safe and happy Halloween.
Hey,
Tom, did you want to...